Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Thursday, November 16th, 2023, 6 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Thursday afternoon for hour number two of the big show. How you doing, Mr. Zommers?
Where, you know, we're all hanging in there. You know? No, I'm doing fine. I'm hungry. That's how I'm doing.
I had a decent breakfast. I had a bowl of oatmeal, a little toast, a little coffee.
I did not have a decent breakfast, actually. Really? I poured myself a bowl of Raisin Bran Crunch, one of my cereals of choice, because, you know, you got to get the fiber, and then the crunch makes it actually filling, because if you just have regular Raisin Bran, you feel hungry again in 20 minutes, but your stomach still has all this fiber in it, so you can't eat.
Anyway,
I took one bite of this. Well, first of all, it was a new box. I opened it up. It smelled a little stale. And I was like, huh, that's weird. It's a brand new box. Oh. And then I took my first bite and it tasted like somehow the raisins were rancid.
Oh, my God.
And so I spit it out and put the rest of it down the garbage disposal and just. So I haven't eaten much today.
You got a bad box of Raisin Bran?
I got a bad box of Raisin Bran. I didn't think that could happen.
I didn't either. Did you check the date?
No.
That's always important. Normally
I do on like all my food.
Because I'm telling you, and this happens to me, I think it happens to a lot of people. The pandemic has messed with the timeline.
I guess.
And it's like, well, I've had that box of cereal 6 months. No, you bought it in year two of the pandemic.
Well, this I know we just bought like a week ago.
Oh, all right. Well, maybe it was sitting on the show. I mean, maybe it was in the storeroom. I don't know.
Right. It could have been.
Did you buy it like, I don't want to ask where, but I mean, was it like a discount place or was it?
No,
like,
it was just a normal grocery store.
Wow. Well, I'd check the date, and if the date's bad, I'd take it back, get your money back. Because, I mean, cereal can be very expensive, by the way.
It can be, yes. And you know what? That's a good point.
And with all these serious things happening in the world, here's my question. What's up with the difference in a price of the box of Wheaties? Because if you go to like, I won't name the store because I shop there a lot. It's a great store. If you go to like a more mainstream family store in Madison, a box of Wheaties is like $8.43. And then you go to Woodman's, which, you know, a lot of feelings about that. But anyway, you go to Woodman's and it's like half the price. It's like $4.
Oh, I'll name stores. Metromart. Metromart is basically the same as like Pick and Save, except it costs 1.5 times as much.
Really?
At least that's been my impression. Every time you go there, it's very close by and convenient, but right. It's just expensive Pick and Save.
I don't know.
By the same company.
If it's volume or, you know, I don't know what it is. They buy Wheaties by the semi-load or what? But it's literally half price at Woodman's if you want a box of Wheaties. Which I enjoy a good box. The Breakfast of Champions. So anyway, that's what's on Todd's mind today. Speaking of, I hope everything gets sorted. Has this made you ill? Do you have to take Pepto-Bismol? Or
I don't think so. Oh, okay. I started chewing it. And I was like, huh, that's bad. Oh, that's bad. And then spit it out.
You know who would never eat that anyway? Our friend and colleague up at Richland Center, Phil Nee. He hates raisins. All raisins. I'm with him on that, by the way.
Fair. I mean, I respect that.
It's probably just some foods that they don't feel right eating. And raisins is what now craisins, a dried cranberry, love them.
I like both. I like both. I think
a craisin and a raisin.
Yeah. I think raisins and oatmeal is great.
No.
That's my personal, but I respect not liking it.
Yeah.
I do.
Not a fan of a raisin. And also not a big fan of coconut, except for I love coconut shrimp.
Coconut shrimp.
I've never had that. Here's a hot tip. If you're traveling over the winter or anytime, quite frankly, and you find yourself on Marco Island off the coast of Southwest Florida, just south of Naples, if you're on Marco Island, saunter into the Snook Inn, known locally as the Snook. Go to the Snook Inn and order the fresh Gulf coconut shrimp. You can't go wrong. because they're tender shrimp right out of the Gulf. B, the batter and the coconut ratio is perfect. And then they serve it with like this marmalade sauce that you dip your shrimp into. Oh my gosh. In fact, that actually is where we should do a show this winter, from the Snook Inn on Marco Island, Florida.
I mean, if you want to go to Florida, I'll let you. I'm not going to Florida.
Really? Well, I mean, but the Gulf is, I've said, as long as you buy the water, anywhere from the water 10 miles inland, you're fine. Just don't go 10.2 miles inland. That's where things get scary.
We also got a message from Joanne Kruwatz, our colleague at WRCE. She doesn't like raisins or craisins.
Doesn't like raisins or craisins. I'm a big craisin person. All right. Well, somebody wanted to know my thoughts about Woodman's. All right, fine. I have nothing against Woodman. In fact, I would like to do a show for Woodman's because Phil Woodman is iconic. You know, he has these great ads. You know, better prices, better products, better whatever. Because we're employee owned.
Right.
You know, one time, I think I've shared this before, maybe on the show before it went statewide. One time when I had my coffee shop, we couldn't buy milk. Because we were a small enough little coffee shop, we couldn't get milk delivered from a wholesaler. So I had to go to Woodman's almost every night, like at 11:30, to buy milk for the next day. Because we go through it. And we didn't have enough storage to store like 4 days in a row.
Right.
And so I found myself at Woodman's like on a Sunday night at 12:30 in the morning. And there was almost nobody there, which is rare, of course, because they're a very popular place. And that's, by the way, that's the only thing I have against it, is because they're so popular that if you go at the wrong time, it is just a zoo. I mean, it is traffic jams in the aisles. It's just too much humanity for me at one time.
Yeah.
But that's nothing against Woodman's, you understand. It's just the fact that they're so popular.
Right.
And so anyway, so I found myself at Woodman's at 12:30 in the morning buying milk I found myself in front of those gigantuan towers of toilet paper and paper towels. And that's, of course, the exact setting that Phil Woodman does these commercials, right? And so I set up my phone across the aisle. I hit record, and I got a couple of things of paper towels, and I shot my own Phil Woodman's ad right there in the aisle, and I sent it to my friends Jonathan and Allison, who we talk about Woodman's all the time, and they said, "Did you green screen that?" I said, "No, I was actually in Woodman's." Maybe we'll play it when we come back. I have the ad on my phone.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah. So that's nothing against Woodman's. It's a great store.
I have something against Woodman's, but you know that.
Let's not. I mean, Phil Woodman is a great guy.
Oh, no. Well, first of all, before I get into that, we have a recommendation. Dana, yes, from La Crosse says, 5 in the morning when they open, in and out in 15 minutes. Love it. And you know
really?
What? That would alleviate a lot of my issues with Woodman's.
Dana, thank you. That's very good. Yeah.
Doesn't really work when you're running a coffee shop that probably opens not too long after that,
yes,
though. But
true.
For personal shopping. But my biggest issues with Woodman's lie in the construction of the buildings. They are freaking massive. And well, that's great. They have a big selection of products. I swear it's designed to confuse you. The lights, the walls, the floors, all of it has small repeating tiles. And I feel like if you go too fast and you have epilepsy, it'll give you a seizure or something. Like,
your problem is it's just too massive.
It's too big, but it wouldn't be so bad if the walls were painted like a solid color, or the floor wasn't all these repeating little tiles, and then the repeating aisles, and then sometimes the store directory is not helpful enough. Like, I was trying to find orzo, you know, like the pasta or whatever,
right.
And I could not for the life of me find orzo. I looked in the store directories. I Googled where is orzo in Woodman's. I looked around in any aisle that had pasta or rice. And I just couldn't find it. And I was like, there is no way that Woodman's doesn't carry orzo.
You knew it was there.
But I never found it.
It was just a matter of trying to track it down. Well, you eventually found it.
No.
Oh, you didn't?
All I right. did not.
Right. Well, I mean, look, you should have grown up in Richland Center. We had like a couple of two-aisle grocery stores. Wilson Supermarket, two aisles. Jay's Jay Buchanan store, two aisles. It's a smaller selection, but, you know.
At least you can find everything.
All right, I believe now I may have found this. So here, I'll play this. This is my makeshift ad from Woodman's, circa, I don't even know what this was, maybe 2016. Let's see if this works. Here we go.
Hey folks, Phil Woodman here with another great special. Scott paper towels, normally $5.99 a pack, now $4.99 for a six pack. Better prices, better service, better products, because we're employee owned.
Pretty spot on.
That was my impromptu, no script, of course. That was my impromptu Woodman's ad at about 12:30 in the morning at Woodman.
And that's just the music that was playing?
That was just the music that was on, like, their music over the speakers. Yeah. There was no editing. Well, no editing whatsoever. And I'm standing there with a couple of like 20 packs of Scott paper towels, if you can see that. So yeah, that was the whole spiel. We've spent nearly 20 minutes talking about paper towels and Woodman's.
And you know what? You got to respect that grind, you know?
Well, you know, it's better than all this negative news. I told Zommers over the break. I said everything's just I'm tired of bringing people down. I mean, and there's serious stuff. And we got to talk about serious stuff. But sometimes it's just it's too much, even for people that work in the news every day.
Yeah, definitely. And as far as adding another note of positivity, I don't just mean to be negative about Woodman's. I have problems with it, but I still, you know, because they're employee owned and they have such a good selection, I'll still shop there.
All right.
Yeah, I'll just be mildly grumpy.
A grumpy Mr. Zommers who just gets overwhelmed at the selection.
And at the families who are just on the phone with the kids running around and taking up the whole aisle. But again, like you said, that's not necessarily their fault.
It is a zoo of humanity sometimes. That's my, I get overwhelmed by the humanity.
I just can't imagine going shopping in a grocery store and then standing with your extra wide Woodman's cart in the middle of the aisle on the phone while there are people trying to get through and not realizing that you're a problem.
And then you've got teenagers in the motorized carts that are supposed to be for people with disabilities, and they're having races down the aisles.
Yeah, that's also not okay.
It's not okay at all, you understand? You don't want that. You want order, and you want joy when you shop for groceries, right?
Especially at Woodman's, because they're employee-owned.
We're going to come back and tell you why Martha Stewart is turkeyed out. She has canceled Thanksgiving. Martha Stewart on the other side of the Todd Alvarez Show.
White Bell of Georgia peaches are absolutely delicious as a condiment.
Martha Stewart, admired for her spontaneity and sought after for her imaginative presentations wherever people gather to entertain and have a good time.
We're going to roast this turkey in all the years that I've been.
In the next hour, Martha Stewart will put together a festive holiday feast filled with an abundance of creative ideas for everyone who likes to surround themselves with family and friends during the holiday season.
Welcome back to the Todd Alvarez Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 20 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Beautiful open there to this segment by Mr. Zommers.
That is the Holiday Entertaining with Martha Stewart special from 1986.
Well, let me tell you, it ain't 1986 anymore, because
now she's seen time.
She's yes, literally. But you know, yes, she looks fantastic, by the way. I don't know. I'm not sure if she's had work done or it's just natural. But I saw her today, this morning on the Today Show with Al Roker, and she looks fantastic.
Yeah.
So anyway,
especially for 82.
Right. I hope I mean, I'm 54 and I don't look that good. So, I mean, God love Martha Stewart. But here's the deal. I never thought I'd say this. According to headlines today, Martha Stewart is turkeyed out and has canceled Thanksgiving Day dinner. My question to you, are you turkeyed out? Are you just sick of hosting people for Thanksgiving? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. I will say, as a matter of fact, I am excited for Thanksgiving because we're doing a big Thanksgiving for the whole family this year at Mom's in Richland Center. In fact, I'm going up there this weekend to help prepare. So I'm excited. But Martha Stewart, not so much. Martha Stewart, according to CNN, says you can take your turkey and stuff it. Stewart appeared today on an episode of The Kelly Clarkson Show, where she revealed that she is calling off hosting a Thanksgiving celebration at her house this year. Quote, "I gave up Thanksgiving. I canceled," she said. "Nine guests canceled because somebody got sick. So I called up my chef friend and I said, we're not doing Thanksgiving," unquote. Plus, Martha Stewart says she's sick of cooking. Quote, "I've also cooked 14 turkeys already for my TV show and still have one to cook on the Today Show, so forget it." When Clarkson asked Stewart if she was, quote, all turkeyed out, she agreed to the term, saying, "I am turkeyed out," unquote. She said, "I made a plan. Friends, of course, invited me to their home, so I'm going to five different homes to taste different courses." Clarkson joked, "If you're coming to my house, I'd say I'd lie. I'd say I cooked it and have somebody else do it." Like Martha Stewart, are you turkeyed out? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Go to the phone lines to Milwaukee. Karina in Milwaukee, thanks for listening. Karina, are you turkeyed out?
Hi, guys. I've been turkeyed out. I don't like turkey, period. I do usually duck. But
really?
What I duck? Never all understood, right. Duck. Duck is much better. I like duck better. It has all dark meat, and I don't like white meat. And turkey is very heavy as well, and so I don't really like it. But interesting thing, I never understood the logic under that, eating that many turkeys, because according to the history, and guys, you tell me if I don't understand it right, that the Native Americans help pilgrims to survive the first winter and introduce them to turkey. And in any other country, the turkey would become a holy bird. Except America, they build more farms to eat more and kill more turkeys.
You know what? You have a really good point. I didn't think about that.
That is a great
take. This is ridiculous. They should be appreciated. No, they took the people who saved their life and practically, genocide them. And the bird would save their life. They continuously cooking and eating and roasting and growing more of them. There you go.
Karina, I mean, according to history/lore, Benjamin Franklin wanted to make the turkey the national bird because it's very smart. Turkeys are very smart. But he was overruled, and the eagle won out instead of the turkey.
Well, yeah, I don't know how smart they are, but at least to appreciate that it actually saved lives, all these pilgrims,
Right. I think that's a great take, Karina. I'd never thought about that before, but you're right. The turkey should be a holy, uplifting bird, just like in India, right? Cows are holy.
Right. Yes. Like cats in Egypt or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. Have a little bit of appreciation. That's very American way of doing things.
You're absolutely.
Just eat it.
Just eat it. All right. Thanks, Karina. Appreciate it. Karina from Milwaukee. Didn't Weird Al do a version of Beat It and Just Eat It or something like that?
Yeah. I don't care if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it. I remember that's a lyric in there somewhere.
I think that's one of the best takes Karina's ever had on the show, by the way.
And she's had some pretty good takes.
She's had some pretty good takes, and that may be the best one yet. Turkeys, according to history lore, help save pilgrims. And of course, the first thing they do is, we'll just eat the son of a gun. let's just devour each and every year. Off the text line, WMDX here in the Madison area, Andrew from Verona says, "If Thanksgiving food was that good, we'd eat it all year round. Tell me how many times a year you roast a whole turkey, make stuffing, or eat cranberry sauce." That's a great question.
That is. I think that it's also part of what makes it good is that it's a special treat and that you're supposed to, with air quotes, supposed to put more effort in and just make a really special dinner.
Yes.
And so I think a lot of that stuff is delicious, but it's just like you don't want to eat a whole chocolate cake every day. That
right.
would, at least I don't. Maybe some people do.
Or like I fix a mean eggnog every year for Christmas. And we, you know, it's boiled, it's not raw eggs, but I mean, it's a big, long process. It's an original recipe from Emeril Lagasse. It's Emeril's eggnog.
Bam,
that's right. It's fan. By the way, it's the only reason that my nieces still come to Christmas, not so much to see Uncle Todd, simply for the eggnog.
If it's an Emeril recipe, yeah. Who can blame them?
It's great. And so, yeah, we love it, but I wouldn't fix eggnog several times a year. Because it's just, A, it's a lot of work, and B, you're right. It's that memory of the holiday associated with that particular food. Now, I think people will have sliced turkey, of course. You have sliced turkey sandwiches. But yeah, how many times do you actually put a whole bird in the oven and roast it? You know, a turkey. Chicken, certainly, but not so much turkey. Stuffing, you know, and again, my mom has my grandmother's recipe, and it is killer. Also, I'd be interested, how many people call it stuffing versus dressing?
Ever? That is true. Yeah, I've heard it both ways. But I guess I don't know. I haven't heard anyone call it dressing in person, really, only in like movies or things like that.
No, my maternal grandmother called it dressing a lot. And so she has, but again, that's a big process. It takes several days. You have to dry out the bread and all this kind of stuff. And so you wouldn't make that every day. But of course, people will buy stovetop stuffing and make that.
Not nearly as good, but still good.
Not nearly as good, but that would be an example of something you might make more often. And cranberry, I love a good cranberry, as long as it's not too tart. Here off WMDX, Andrew from Verona, if I'm going to spend a whole day in the kitchen, I'll be adventurous and make something like Mexican mole. Oh, that's delicious. My family's tradition is to make more non-traditional menus. That's great.
I think that's a good tradition to have, yeah.
It's a good tradition. We're going to come back and pick up with a Matt Solomon from Crack.com and the life of times of one of Saturday Night Live's biggest stars. Don't miss it on the other side. Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on a Thursday, November 16th, 2023. Mr. Aaron Zommer's on the board. Glad to have you along here for the final half hour of the show. And we welcome back to the program a great talent, a great writer. He writes over at cracked.com. He is Matt Solomon, a mutual friend of ours, Chris Paul's here in Wisconsin. We know CP pretty well, Matt, but welcome back to the program. We love having you.
Yeah, on. I didn't know who you were talking about there at the time you introduced me, but I'm glad it was me.
Yes, of course it was. Of course it was you. We appreciate you coming on. Remind folks that might not have listened to us before, now that we're on a statewide audience, kind of where you grew up and how you got into being a comedy writer.
Wow. That's a long story. I'm from Peoria, Illinois originally, which is, that's not a bad place for comedy people to come from. It's also the home of Richard Pryor and Sam Kinison and other kind of story. I do not put myself into that category. I'm more of an observer than a practitioner of comedy, but I've been in Madison, Wisconsin since the late 1980s. I've done a lot of improvisational and sketch comedy here in Madison. I was a contributor to The Onion for more than 15 years, and most recently I am a writer on the comedy beat for cracked.com. So we cover comedy news, but also I get the opportunity to sink my teeth into larger projects around comedy from time to time. And that's, you know, I get to talk to some of my childhood comedy heroes in doing so. So it's a very fun, cool gig.
And you mentioned these deeper pieces. This is one of the great things about Cracked that I love, is that it's not just every day is kind of short things that make you laugh, although there's many pieces like that. But every once in a while, you get one of these really deep dives into the history of comedy and some of the big giants in it. And this piece entitled The 75 Greatest Phil Hartman SNL Sketches, according to his castmates and writers. How did you come to kind of have the idea to write it? And how long did it take to put all this together?
The idea was kind of a joint idea, I guess, that grew out of a, you know, our editorial brainstorming, but we recognized that Mr. Hartman would have been 75 this fall.
Wow.
And crazy. Yeah, that's crazy to think about. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he's a contemporary of Lorne Michaels. I got Lorne Michaels turned 79 this week. So wow. Just to put into perspective of, I know that's making my hair turn gray just saying that as well. But, you know, it's, and we just started thinking about, you know, what might Phil Hartman have been doing had he still been with us, but also it just seemed like an opportunity to celebrate Phil. We weren't the only ones who did it. Dana Carvey and David Spade did a really long two-part retrospective on their Fly on the Wall podcast, where they talked to a lot of former writers and cast members as well. So we must have had some parallel thinking along those lines, because I think when you hit those big numbers, 50, 75, 100, it's just a good opportunity to take stock of what a man's comedy career was like.
One of the cool things about this piece, and again, I always enjoy a writer's perspective or a reporter's perspective, but for a piece like this, I think it's particularly insightful for us, the reader, to hear about things the perspective of people who actually knew the subject, who hung out with them, who drank with them, who ate with them, who acted with them. And you've certainly done that here with this piece. Tell folks a little bit about some of the people you talked to put this retrospective on Phil Hartman together.
Sure. I will tell you, it was, unfortunately for me, I was putting this together during both the writer's strike and the actor's strike. And I got some very polite no's, mainly because people felt like, you know, Adam Sandler's folks, Sarah Silverman's folks were just like, hey, this will be indirectly promoting a television show and we just can't do that right now. But right. I did, I was fortunate enough to get to talk to Al Franken, who both performed with Phil and wrote sketches for him. Nora Dunn, who was a castmate of Phil's, who we struck up a very fun, friendly email correspondence. I spoke with Robert Smigel, who was a legendary Saturday Night Live writer, but people may remember him more as Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. Also, all of the TV Funhouse cartoons that ran on Saturday Night Live for many years, so that was all Smigel.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yep. And finally, I talked to Tom Farley here in town, who, as many people know, was Chris Farley's brother. And Chris really had looked up to Phil as almost like a father figure. So I wanted to get some of that perspective too, those memories of the Farleys had of Phil Hartman.
In talking to all these folks, and I can only imagine the conversations, but are there one or two things that really rise to the top and things that either surprised you or you hadn't heard or didn't know before you did this piece about Phil Hartman?
Yeah, I am kind of an amateur Saturday Night Live historian. So, I mean, a lot of these stories have been around for a while. But I did hear a couple that I hadn't heard before. One that's coming to mind immediately is Tom Farley telling me about a time that he and the family went out to see Chris, and Phil Hartman, if I'm remembering this story correctly, forgive me, Tom, if I don't have every detail correctly, took them to a art museum in New York. And Tom Farley was just blown away by Phil Hartman's knowledge of art, wow. You know, classical art, and just kind of was basically like a tour guide explaining all the great works of art. And he just, and also was just like, it was so decent and sweet of him to take the Farley family on this excursion. People may not know that not only did Phil Hartman have an extensive knowledge of art, he was a talented artist as well, and he designed a lot of classic album covers.
Really?
Back in the 70s and 80s. Might have to look this up here while we're talking, but say like for Poco and for
just the fact that and this always amazes me. And
Steely Dan, he was a graphic designer before he Crosby, Stills and Nash's logo was designed by Phil Hartman.
Get out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So before he got involved in the Groundlings, which is an improvisational comedy group in Los Angeles, he was a graphic artist. And so he was known. I mean, there's so many people on that. So, you know, when you talk about like the Adam Sandlers and the Chris Farleys and the David Spades, these were basically fraternity brothers who only cared about comedy. And they were always kind of blown away by how Phil Hartman also had this extensive knowledge of classic cars and surfing philosophy and graphic design. And he was really a Renaissance man.
That's so super cool. Talking right now with Matt Solomon. He is a writer at crack.com and talking about his great piece. You can find it right now at crack.com called The 75 Greatest Phil Hartman SNL Sketches, according to his castmates and writers. Let's get into it, Matt. Start wherever you want to start, but give us a couple of these 75 greatest sketches of Phil Hartman.
Sure. You know, it's hard to talk about Phil Hartman without noting that his castmates had a nickname for him, and that nickname was The Glue. And what that meant was, I mean, you could put Phil Hartman in the lead of a sketch. He could be the unfrozen caveman lawyer, or he could be the anal retentive chef, and he could, you know, do some crazy character and just hold the whole thing together. But he was equally valuable, or maybe even more valuable. He could play the boss, or he could play the dad, or he could play the doting husband who had no particularly funny lines necessarily in the sketch, but he would just give this gravitas and anchor the sketch in reality so that, for example, when he's playing the father of the wayward teens in the first Matt Foley Van Down by the River sketch, when Farley's just going crazy, that sketch works because you've got Phil Hartman as the horrified father who seems like a real guy who can't believe this force of nature just blew into this hurricane of a man, blew into his house. You see, you know, David Spade cannot, Christina Applegate cannot keep a straight face in that sketch. They both are kind of hiding their face in their hands because they're just losing it. Phil Hartman is a rock in that sketch. He is just 100% the horrified father. You can see him kind of scheming, how are we going to get Matt Foley out of the house and lock the door and call the cops? He was just such a valuable asset for the show's writers, because you could always put Phil Hartman in a sketch and he would do something to make it work, even if he wasn't like telling jokes necessarily or doing a crazy character.
And as you touched on, yes or no, or agree or disagree, maybe a better way to put it. He was one that was able to probably keep his composure and not break character the best. But Farley would just crack all these other people up.
Farley, I just read something this week where Norm Macdonald was talking about Farley's goal when he was in a sketch with you was to try to make you crack up, even though that was a Lorne Michaels no-no. Right. Farley was just saying he was just going to do anything he could to make you crack up. But you're right. Hartman was, he was in so many sketches and people will point to like, oh, there's that one time where the corner of his mouth started to turn up a little bit. You could never do that with Horatio Sands or Jimmy Fallon because they cracked up seven times a show. But it's like, you know, over the course of like 8 years, it was like, oh, there's that one time when Phil almost started to smile. He was just so good at keeping a straight face. so he was just a Swiss Army knife for Saturday Night Live's writers. You could he could make anything work. You know, I'm gonna, before I forget this thought,
yeah.
When we came up with the idea, 75 sketches. The best 75 sketches, not just 75, but the best 75. I thought, like, that's just way too many. I'm not going to be able to find that many videos even. It was amazing to me how many sketches he was in, how many sketches. It was very easy to point to him and say, this sketch works because of Phil, whether because he's leading it or because he's doing something intrinsic to making it work. So.
And I think he's one of those characters where I guess each of us, you know, for us of a certain age, I'm 54 now, and I look back at certain eras, and to me, that era of Saturday Night Live is still some of the funniest and best stuff of my memories of the show. But each of us has that. But I think for that era, Phil Hartman just personifies that, at least to me.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I mean, the show was really in danger before Hartman arrived. There was, you know, Lorne Michaels left in after the fifth season. Mm-hmm. They brought in a cast with Charles Rocket and Denny Dillon and
Who?
Gilbert Gottfried was in that cast, but that entire cast lasted a season. It was a disaster. Mm-hmm. Eddie Murphy came in and that helped for a little while. But it was really only when Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, and Jan Hooks showed up that the show really kind of got back on its feet again.
Stay tuned more with Matt Solomon, a writer at Crack.com, talking about Phil Hartman on the 75th, that would have been his 75th birthday. Back with more with Matt and Reflections, the 75 best sketches of Phil Hartman. More on the other side. This is the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. Our friend and colleague, Matt Flynn, direct in after the news. History always happening every minute of every day. Matt Flynn will take you to the front lines of history being made today on Matt Flynn Direct, coming up after the news at the top of the hour. You do not want to miss it. You're going to want to also continue to tune in for our final segment here with Matt Solomon, great writer at Cracked.com, has a great piece out right now. You can find it at Cracked.com. Looking at what would have been the 75th birthday of Phil Hartman and looking back at the 75 best and greatest sketches, according to his co-stars and friends and people that worked with him in his history at SNL. Matt, thanks again for taking the time to be here. This is fantastic. Let's get right into just a couple more of these sketches that you have found in your writing, in your research, that other people would have said would have been among his 75 best.
Al Franken specifically only wanted to talk to me to talk about one sketch. And that was a sketch. If people haven't seen it, this was, I'm trying to remember if this was when Bill Clinton was running for president. I think he had just been elected president. And Franken wanted to do a sketch around Bill Clinton, but didn't want to do a press conference or sitting in the White House. Instead, he put Bill Clinton in his element, which was out on a jog with the Secret Service men and running into a McDonald's.
Yeah.
And what's great about this, this was a perfect one, in Franken's opinion, about why Phil was the glue. He just goes from different cast member to different cast member to different cast member. It's to Chris Rock, to Rob Schneider, to Chris Farley, being a man of the people, stealing their French fries. Hey, you're going to finish that quarter pounder, you know, are you done with that filet of fish?
Yeah.
But also, like, while he was doing it, he would just start spilling all of this wonky policy while he's stealing your French fries,
right.
Which was, I'm just going to read a little, just one line from what, yeah. Franken says, when we say he's the glue, think about how many people he interacts with in that sketch and how his rhythm is the thing that holds it all together. He was just the perfect take on Clinton at the time. That was such a seminal, Saturday Night Live really does a great job of telling America who these guys are in really, from Chevy Chase making us all believe that Gerald Ford was a klutz to, what Will Ferrell did with Bush. So there's a long history of that.
Well, and to your point, I think everybody else in late night, other late night hosts kind of took off on that. And suddenly Clinton became synonymous with Big Macs and being in a sweatsuit and jogging. I mean, that became the joke every place else after Phil Hartman did it.
Right. One thing that I really love that Hartman did, speaking of presidential impressions, this is one that Robert Smigel was very excited to talk about. Back in the mid-1980s, every comedian did a Ronald Reagan. And basically, the Ronald Reagan was kind of doddering your head and saying, well, that was the impression. Yeah. Johnny Carson's not an impressionist, but Johnny Carson did one, and Rich Little did one. Robin Williams had just been on the show, and he had done one. And Smigel was like, that's just so lazy to reduce this guy to just being, old, basically, right, and saying well a lot. So they came up with a new Reagan where Phil Hartman played Reagan, and the sketch started with kind of that stereotypical Reagan impersonation where he's like, well, he's talking to the Girl Scouts are coming into the Oval Office to visit. And as soon as the little girl leaves the room, he snaps into this completely different persona where he's just a political mastermind. He pulls down a war map. Here's how we're going to divert some funds from we're going to divert money to the Contras. It was such a clever take on Reagan at the time, and a much more subversive, much more original take. And Hartman was the only guy who could play both kind of the doddering old man and then instantly snap into this political mastermind.
Oh, it was great. It really got, maybe the underlying theme was, Reagan was an actor. That's the way he started out. And that the whole thing, this presidency is just an act. What you see in the public is just an act.
Yeah. Yeah. Hartman was great at impressions. Obviously, we've talked about the Clinton and the Reagan. One thing that I find interesting about Phil Hartman is that people didn't really know who Phil Hartman was. Like, what's Phil Hartman's comic persona? He was so good at embodying other people. There's a, I love this cold open that Saturday Night Live did while Phil was on the show with Steve Martin. Breaking into song about how he's not going to phone it in tonight. Right. He's going to really try. And all the cast members just start marching with him and like, we're going to really try tonight. We're going to try tonight. And they're each talking about the things they're going to do. Farley talks about he's not going to drink until after update's over. Like, sure, I'll drink till I spew after that, but I'm not going to do it until then. And when it gets to Phil's thing, because like, tonight I'm not going to wear the fake nose. I'm going to show the world what the real Phil Hartman is, who the real Phil Hartman is. And Steve Martin says something like, I don't know if I'd do that if I were you, Phil. And Phil's like, okay. But that's kind of the mystery of Phil Hartman to me, is that, you never really got to see who Phil the guy was, because he was such a master of disguise. He was like such a a man of a thousand faces that who actually was Phil Hartman is versus like an Adam Sandler, for example. And you kind of get the sense who Adam Sandler is, because he's often just being Adam Sandler. That wasn't the case with Phil Hartman.
And then, after he left Saturday Night Live, had was it News Radio, correct?
That's right.
It was a series, and then met way too soon, and a tragic ending to his life, taken way too soon. And you just think, what would have been, to your point, if he would have been around, what sort of things he could have done further on down the line. But we will always have these memories. We'll always have these clips. And thanks to you, we now have a chance to go to crack.com and look at the 75 best sketches on SNL of Phil Hartman, according to his cast and friends. Matt Solomon, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time, taking us down this memory lane. Thank you for all the work that you put in, the research to bring these stories to us. I know people are going to love it if they go to crack.com.
Have a great afternoon. Thanks.
Yep, you as well. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Stay tuned next for Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back tomorrow. On behalf of Matt Solomon and Mr. Aaron Zommers, I'm Todd Allball. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, keep banging on your drum.